Let us turn now to the reading of Scripture, and we turn first to the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. Reading these in connection with our text from Matthew 13, 47 through 50, where Jesus tells the parable, a parable of the kingdom of heaven, and he compares it to a dragnet, gathering fish of every kind in its way, and then at the end sorted out, and then it speaks about the day of judgment. Well, that imagery of a dragnet sweeping across a sea of humanity is not a new image that Jesus speaks of, but an image that comes up already in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. But we'll see here it applied not to the kingdom of heaven, but to a kingdom of earth. And then we'll look at that in our first point of the message this morning. Habakkuk 1, verse 12 through 17. So Habakkuk is a prophet, and as they see the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, beginning to sweep across the ancient Near East, Habakkuk has various questions for God, and this is his second question, if you have that title above in your Bible. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? And hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he. Why do you make men like fish of the sea? Like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? And then the second reading is from Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 31. Jeremiah 5, verse 20 through 31. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? And then our reading of our text, Matthew 13, 47 through 50. So Matthew 13, it describes various parables, all described in as a picture of the kingdom of heaven, speaking about the kingdom of heaven in various different ways. We're going to look at today at two of the parables. This first service, we're going to look at the parable of the dragnet, and the second service, we'll look at the end of it, where we see the treasury that we have in the kingdom of heaven. And so our focus is just the parable of the dragnet, and I'll read that with you. Matthew 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Thus far, reading of the text. So as we look at this passage, beloved brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, in each of the three readings, there's something that we're called to see, and that is there is a future that is coming. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has set eternity into our hearts, in our hearts. We live for more than just the moment. And it can be difficult in our days, in our weeks, where we wake up, we do our work, we go to bed. Next day, same thing happens. Sun rises, we wake up, we go to school, we do our work, we go to bed. And it feels like there's just this endless cycle, this repetition of life. And if we're not careful, if we're not thoughtful or intentional, life can become about improving your lot one day at a time. Thinking that every morning as you wake up, see if I can make this day better than yesterday. But Scripture holds out for us in this cycle that we often experience, and it's not just the daily cycle, weekly cycle, yearly cycle, as we're going into, well, it doesn't seem like we're going into winter, but as soon we'll be going into winter, as we experience all these cycles, the Bible holds out for us a timeline of history and says, don't forget that human history, and that you and I find ourselves in a very specific place in that timeline of history. We're in the timeline of history that comes after the person of Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, poured out his Holy Spirit. We're in that timeline of history where Jesus Christ is reigning. But there's still something more to come, and the Bible teaches us that there is a day of Christ's return, and that's a day of judgment. And so this afternoon, we're going to look at this parable through that lens, that God gathers all for the day of judgment. That's going to be the theme. God gathers all for the day of judgment. And we're going to see three things. In the first point, we're going to rejoice because the evil will not go unpunished. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Habakkuk. In the second one, be warned because evil will be judged. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Jeremiah. And then finally, be found in Jesus, the righteous one, the one who's speaking this parable and calling us to see him for who he is. And so our focus, God gathers all for the day of judgment. You have it in your outline, those three points that we're going to be considering. Before we go to point one, just to make sure that we all have the image of this parable firmly in our minds, it talks about a net. Now, I don't know if there's any kids here that have had a net and kind of gone fishing in a little pond. You can buy them at the dollar store and go and try to catch frogs or tadpoles. when you're camping, or maybe you have a pond in the backyard there. The net described here is not one of those small fishing nets. It's a drag net. And a drag net is this massive net. It's a horizontal net that you have floats on the top. So the top of the water has a net, and then it has these weights at the bottom. And this net gets dragged across a body of water. You can do it in a river, you can do it in a pond, you can do it in a lake. But what this net does is as it's dragged across, it catches everything in its path. So it's not a little fishing net where you're trying to stab and jab and try to catch this little tadpole. No, this net moves across and catches everything in its path. Some of these nets have, well, they used to be used in the ocean, and they would be longer than 5 kilometers. So you'd have ships on either side just dragging this massive net across. The UN has since banned a certain length of net just because it's so powerful and it catches just about everything in its path. And so that's the image of this parable, this dragnet that is sweeping across the body of water, catching the fish in its way. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Jesus Christ has come to establish, the kingdom that has begun as he has appeared on the earth and that is we currently have and see in this world around us, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. It's like the process of dragnet fishing, where no one can escape the reality of the kingdom of heaven. No one can escape the reality of the kingdom of heaven. Everyone is being gathered for that end of the age, and on that day, the wicked will face eternal punishment, and the righteous will receive the full joy of eternal life. So the parable is a very simple and yet powerful visual. As we go about our daily life, and as we think about our moment in history, and all of the complications that come with living your moment in this fallen world, this parable gives us a bigger picture of what's happening. And so the first thing that we want to see is rejoice because evil will not go unpunished. So as I mentioned in our readings, this isn't the first time we read about a dragnet. The first instance of a dragnet is in the book of Habakkuk. And in the book of Habakkuk, the Israelites saw the Chaldeans, this Babylonian Empire, just sweeping across the ancient Near East. And it seems like this Babylonian Empire, like this giant dragnet, was just swallowing up entire cities, entire nations, and just saying, oh, all that you guys have there, we'll go ahead and take, and we'll use it for our own benefit. All that you have there, we're going to take it, and we're going to use it for our own benefit. To the point where Habakkuk says to God, he says, how can you allow this to happen? You have wicked rulers just swallowing up righteous people or people that are more righteous than them. How can you allow this to happen? It seems like there's this powerful dragnet that we as the people of God are just caught up in and we're left hopeless and helpless. Well, the reality is, the experience of the people of Israel back then can also be the experience of God's people today, where it's easy to be overwhelmed when you find yourself in a time or place in history where you're governed by evil oppression. Just this past week in China, the Communist Party gathered and they finalize their decisions. And there's a powerful visual, I'm sure many of you have seen it, of the former president kind of being grabbed by the arm and just led out of that. And you just see in that visual of Xi Jinping establishing control and then the hearing of the persecuted church just being taken out of their homes. And you begin to ask the same questions of Habakkuk. Lord, how? How can you allow this to happen? Well, Habakkuk, God's answer to Habakkuk was, trust me. Trust me, the righteous will live by faith. It's not the full answer that we have, but it's an answer that God said, look, the story of human history, you can go back, you can understand why this judgment is coming upon Israel, and you can in this moment feel hopeless and helpless, but trust me and believe that this is not the end of the story. The righteous will live by faith. And now here, Jesus Christ, before a crowd of people, he gives us a new understanding of that dragnet parable. He says, look, that's how you may feel, being caught up in the net of wickedness, where you're constantly struggling against a spider web of deceit. He's saying, that's not the full story. That's not what I want you to see today. What I want you to see is that the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. The kingdom of heaven that's been established by King Jesus is sweeping across the timeline of human history and across the world, and it is catching every single person in its path. And there is no one that can escape accountability to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so for those who are suffering under oppressive and abusive, wicked governments, for those who feel themselves struggling against a web that seems to be tightening, Jesus speaks of a greater story, the story of his kingship. And so, we can rejoice. There's a joy that we can find in judgment to know that wickedness will not end the day, win the day. And so we can rejoice because evil will not go unpunished. We can find comfort in that fact. Because the reality is, and we're not there yet, but the reality is there are times and places where it feels like as a child of God, there is no hopeful way forward. And in those moments, you can think of Nazi Germany, you can think of the persecuted church. I read some of the stories of the persecuted church you have in your bulletin. And some of us perhaps have experienced that. Some of us can only imagine it. But when you're caught up in such a web, the righteous will live by faith. Look to Jesus and find comfort and hope and joy in that truth. But as we recognize God is gathering all for the day of judgment, there's joy and comfort to know that evil will not go unpunished. But the gospel of Jesus Christ does not allow us, it does not allow you and me to just sit and look out there. Because there's also a warning in this parable. Because the reality of that gathering and then that sorting of wicked and righteous is a reality that you and I will experience as well. We're not living in a wheel of time where there's no end that's coming. Now, the Bible is very clear. On that timeline of history, the day of judgment is coming. As you look at the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the people of God who have become rebellious against him. People that have become defiant and rebellious. They don't say, let us fear the Lord of God. They don't say, let you and me recognize that this net is sweeping across the timeline of history, that you and me are also being gathered for that final day, that there will come a day where every careless word must be answered for, where every evil desire must be accounted for. Christ will return at the end of the age. Judgment Day will occur. And Jeremiah, as it's challenging the people of God who have strayed, asks the question of them. And it's something that we should reflect on as well. What will you do in the end? What will you do in the end? Because if you look at Matthew 13, this is what happens in the end. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth. Angels are spiritual servants of God who, in this case, administer judgment to every person. And every one of us, you and me, everyone in Queen's Park, everyone in Ottawa, everyone in a top floor office, everyone in Beijing, in Pyongyang, wherever you may be found across the world, every one of us will be gathered and the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just. And you can ask the question, well, who is the wicked? What does it mean? It seems like knowing or understanding this sorting is incredibly important. Why? Because the wicked are cast into the furnace of fire and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, who are the wicked? Anyone who breaks any part of God's law. In the New Testament, there are several passages in the New Testament. There's one in Galatians, one in Colossians, I believe one in Ephesians, where Paul lists various things, and he ends those lists with the phrase, "Such will not inherit the kingdom of God." And one of the lists in Galatians 5, verse 19 says, "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger." And as I'm reading this, think, have I done these things? Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And he says, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven." In other words, as the angels are doing their great sorting work, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus here in the explanation of this parable speaks about hell. Matthew 13, verse 50, cast them into the fire, furnace of fire. That's not an extension of the parable, that's an explanation of the parable. He says, God is punishing the wicked. And yes, on one hand, for those who are oppressed by wickedness, there can be great joy because God does not leave evil unpunished. But on the other hand, it forces us also to look at ourselves and to say, how do I relate to other people? How do I treat my wife, my husband, my children, my friends? How do I do my work when the boss is looking or when the boss is not looking? How do I spend my time at school? How do I treat the kids at school that are the bullies or the ones being bullied? Be warned, because evil will be judged. And so this parable doesn't just serve as a parable of comfort for those who are oppressed by wickedness, but it also serves as a warning for those who do evil. The hell that Jesus speaks of awaits. There's a timeline in human history, and that time is coming, and the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet bringing everyone to that final day. You see, there are passages in the Old Testament, Jeremiah is one of them, where the challenge that Jeremiah gave, it says, these people don't say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord. In other words, they don't really care about him or what he asks of them or what's coming. No, they just enjoy living their life, taking what they want, getting richer and richer. And so this parable serves as a warning. Which leaves us wondering, as we come to the final point, our third point, which leaves us wondering and asking that same question of Jeremiah, what will we do in the end? What will we do? Where will we go? Everything will be brought to light. Every action, every word, every secret thought, every deeply buried secret, every past encounter, everything that you've thought the sands of time is going to bury them will be dug up. Everything will come to light. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that he gives you the humility and the honesty to admit that if I stand there on my own, I know where I deserve to go. Romans 3 verse 10, there's no one righteous, no, not one. So what will you do in the end? Well, here's where this parable gives us good news, because you'll notice that though Romans 3 verse 10 says there's no one righteous, no, not one, yet Jesus speaks of the parable of the kingdom of heaven where there are wicked and righteous being gathered, and where the wicked and the righteous are being sorted at the end. In other words, let me make it simple. When that net is gathered, or when judgment day comes, there are righteous being found. So how is that possible? It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ, as we heard from 1 John, he is the righteous one. So he is the one that has perfectly kept God's law. And there is no sin, no evil found in him. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that he says to all the world, not just to you and to me, but he's the propitiation for the sins of all the world. He says to all the world, believe in me, recognize that by faith in me and through the cross that where I died and through my blood that I poured out, your sins are washed away and you receive by faith in me that label of righteous. It's not a game that you have to play day in and day out where you think, I did a lot of good righteous, I was wicked this day. It's not a game where you hope at the end of the day you can say, I was more righteous, Lord, I'm the righteous one. No. If you play that game, you will find yourself facing judgment. No, it's a gift. When Jesus Christ says, believe in me, you'll be forgiven and you are righteous. So what will we do in the end? We stand there in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, not me, but him. This parable brings us to Jesus Christ, who is the King of the kingdom, who has established the kingdom of heaven. He's the Lord of history, and in this period of time, he's sweeping across the sea of humanity, he's gathering all, and he's calling all to find their righteousness in him alone. He's bringing them to that final judgment day, call them and to give account. Brothers and sisters, it's a message we have to hear over and over again. Be found in Jesus Christ. Be found in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, yes, you can rejoice that wickedness and evil will be punished. And yes, in Jesus Christ, you can hear that warning that sin and evil in your own life does deserve judgment. But as you become aware of it, you flee it and you bring it to the cross. And you say, not what my hands have done, but what Christ has done. God has set eternity in our heart. As you go into each day, into each week, as you celebrate birthdays or turn the calendar into a new year, don't suppress the truth that we are being brought to that day of judgment. Don't think that today you can live only for the moment. Look to Jesus Christ. And I'll end with the reading of 1 Peter 4, verse 7 through 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 through 11, where in light of everything that we've just heard, he also speaks encouragement to us on how to live in the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 through 11, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Because it's to him that we give glory and honor, and to him belong dominion forever and ever." So let's look to him and live as citizens of his kingdom joyfully, knowing the righteousness that he gives. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you that you have set eternity in our hearts, and that even as we are living our day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out, that you've given us an awareness of greater things than just these days, of a glory that is to come, of a day that is to come. And so we pray that you will help us to see the King ruling on high today, calling all to faith and life in him. And give us a deep awareness of the end of the age, of the day of judgment. And as we live our life and as we relate to others, may we be able to both give the warning of that day, but also the comfort that we have found as we face the day. To the glory of your name and in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.